The Lord Jesus described the action of Mary on this occasion as a good work. Verse number 6, let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath wrought a good work on me. It brings to mind what the Apostle Paul later wrote in his letter to the Ephesians. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. We're not saved on account of our good works, but we are saved unto good works. We are saved, those of us who are saved today, are saved so that we may do good works. Our salvation will manifest itself in the works that we do. The Apostle James wrote in his letter, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. True saving faith reveals itself in what it does for the Lord. That faith is revealed, it is manifested by works. The Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, spoke of people who had a profession of God. They professed that they know God, but in their works they deny Him. Their works, their actions, contradicted what they professed to believe. But the Bible makes it abundantly clear that where there is true faith, that faith will always be evidenced and manifested by the works and the actions that it does. When we bring the teaching of these epistles to the anointing of the Lord Jesus in Bethany, we can see what the Lord meant when he said about Mary, she hath wrought a good work on me. This woman's work, this woman's action, was the manifestation and the evidence of her faith. I think that the application to us ought to be very clear. Every Christian ought to be a worker for the Lord. Every Christian ought to be doing something for the Lord Jesus. There may well be many things that we cannot do, and things that the Lord has not called us to do, but every Christian ought to be doing something for the Lord. Let me draw your attention to the statement that the Lord makes here in verse number 8. He says of this woman, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Many things she could not do. Many things she was not called to do. In comparison to some of the other disciples who were in the room that day, she was not called to go to distant lands as the apostles were. Nor was she called to give her life in a martyr's death. There were many things that she could not do, and many things she had not been called to do. But here was something she could do, and what she could do, she did for the Lord. She did for the Lord. When we read this account in Mark's Gospel, we read of a commendable and an inspiring example. What a difference to the cause of Jesus Christ around the world if it could be said of every Christian, he or she hath done what she could. They have done what they could. Would it not be the case today that if this could be said of every one of us, that the work of God and the cause of Jesus Christ would be in a much healthier state of affairs. I put it to you this morning that when we read these verses, when we read this account, when we step, as it were, upon the threshold of this home, and we look at what happened here in this house of Simon the leper, we find something that is commendable and something that is inspiring to us. She hath done what she could. I want us to consider this statement the Lord makes in verse 8. And I want us to notice in the first place that what Mary could do, she did purposefully. What she could do for her Lord, she did purposefully. She did with purpose of heart. I think that's the first characteristic about this lady. It is the sense of purpose that she had. She was acting with a purpose. She had determined in her heart that she would bring her alabaster box of ointment and she would pour it upon her beloved Lord. She was going to do this for him. She had a purpose. She rose that morning. She knew she had this alabaster box and she determined in her heart that this is what she was going to do with it. She would bring it to the Lord and she would anoint him for his burial. She had a purpose. She was acting out of that purpose, out of that determination. Many people go through life without any purpose. Their life is shaped by circumstances and events. Their life is basically a reaction to circumstances. They seem to drift aimlessly, directed by whatever wind blows and by whatever way the waves carry them. They have no purpose in life. There's no purpose. They're just drifting from one circumstance to the other, living in reaction to one event after the other. But people who have a purpose are the kind of people who sail against the wind, who sail against the tide, because they are motivated and driven by a sense of purpose. They have determined to do something, no matter what wind may blow against them. This woman purposed to do something for her Lord. And she met with a very strong wind of opposition. Verse number 4. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. She's meeting with this wind of opposition and the waves are blowing contrary against her. But she's a woman with a sense of purpose. She was going to do something for her Lord. And nothing could deter her and nothing could divert her. I say today that's a commendable example. It's a commendable example. Let us be like Mary this morning. Men and women, young people with a sense of purpose, having determined in our heart, no matter what waves beat against us, no matter what wind blows against us, that we're going to do what we can for our blessed Redeemer. Her purpose not only manifested determination, it exhibited self-sacrifice. She had to forego her own interest. The ointment that she brought was very costly. The other disciples who murmured against her reasoned that this ointment could have been sold for 300 pence. And in those days, that figure, that amount, equated to almost an entire year's wage, a year's salary. This was a very expensive gift that she brought. 300 pence, a penny for the day, was the wages of a working man. And this ointment, as they looked at it, they valued it at 300 pence. They recognized that it was very costly. Mary could have decided that she was going to use this for herself. She could have decided in her own heart that she would receive the benefit and receive the value. After all, what lady would not like to be filled with a sweet aroma, with a sweet perfume? She could have applied it to herself. But instead, she determined that she would give this to her Lord. She determined that she would use this for Him. She set aside her own interests, she set aside her own gain, and she made the Lord her priority. She desired to do this for Him. And in doing that, she's reminding us that if we're going to do what we can for the Lord, that service requires self-sacrifice. It requires the putting aside of our own interests and our own gain and our own desires and our own ambitions in order to do something for Him. Jim Elliot was a young man who felt the call of God to the mission field. He could have had a bright prospect in many other fields of life, but he heard the call of God. And as a young man of 25, he headed to South America to reach the Aka tribe, only to be butchered, to be slaughtered, and his body to be mutilated and thrown into a river 4 years later. He found later in his diary, before he had left for the mission field, he wrote these words: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Yes, it was a sacrifice. Many of his companions and friends thought that he was a fool to devote his life to such a cause. And then when they heard the news that he had been brutally murdered by the very people that he was trying to reach, many of them thought, what a waste. But he was doing it for the Lord. He was giving up his life for the cause of his Master. He was setting aside his own ambition, his own gain, in order to do what he could for his Lord. You and I may not be able to go to the mission field, but whatever we can do for the Lord will be characterized by the same characteristic of self-denial. The sacrifice of self. What she could do, she did purposefully. When she set out that morning with her alabaster box, she purposed in her heart. As you and I have set out to come to God's house today, what have we purposed in our hearts? Have you purposed anything today? Have you determined in your heart today to do what you can for the Lord? She had done what she could purposefully. But then notice secondly that what Mary could do, she did personally. You'll notice three times in this passage that the Lord places emphasis upon what this woman done, what she did. Verse number 6, "Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." She hath wrought a good work on me. Then in verse 8, "She hath done what she could." Then in verse 9, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done. The Lord is saying, Mary has done this. Mary has done this. She has done this. She didn't leave it for someone else to do. It was something that she could do for her Lord. She did not reason within herself that there were others more worthy than herself. She did not think that there were others who were more wealthy than herself, and therefore they should do this work for the Lord. Rather, she looked at what she could do, and she did it. How much we can learn from Mary. Do not leave to someone else what you can do for the Lord. If the Lord gives us ability, if the Lord gives us opportunity to do something for Him, do not leave that to someone else. You remember the Lord said to the church at Philadelphia in Revelation 3 and verse 11, hold that fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That no man take thy crown. In other words, do what you can for the Lord so that someone else will not take the crown that you can gain from Him. I think that the most sorrowful example of that is found in the case of King Saul. You remember when the people cried after Samuel for a king? And the Lord was not pleased, but the Lord consented to their request, and He gave them Saul, the son of Kish of the tribe of Benjamin. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. They thought, what a tremendous candidate for this position. And Saul seemed to have so much going for him. What potential, what opportunity. But alas, somebody came and took the crown from Saul's head. And the Lord said, I have found another. I find one who is after mine own heart. Saul had that ability. Saul had that opportunity. But he let someone else take his crown. And I believe when the Lord wrote this to the church at Philadelphia, that He was intending that illustration to be brought to our minds. It is possible to lose our crown when we do not do what we can for the Lord and what He has given us the ability to do. You remember Mordecai reminded Esther that God had put her into her position so that she could do something for Him. He said, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And God has placed you where you are. God has put you into that position so that you might intervene on behalf of your people. But if you fail to do this, if you fail to do what you can, deliverance will arise from another place. God will take someone else. God will use someone else. Mary saw that morning an opportunity to do something for her Lord, and she did it personally. And in the rendering of that service, she obtained a crown from her Lord. Don't let anybody else do what the Lord has given you to do and what the Lord has called you to do for Him. What she could do, she did purposefully. What she could do, she did personally. But notice thirdly, what she could do, she did presently. Presently. She did not leave it to someone else, nor did she leave it to another time. You'll notice that the time is mentioned here in verse number 1 of the chapter. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. The time is mentioned. The hour of the Lord's death is drawing near. And in the run up to that time, in the previous 6 months, the Lord had spoken privately to His disciples about His death. He told them that He was going to Jerusalem. He would suffer many things at the hands of the religious leaders, and they would put Him to death. He told them what was going to happen. And now it was only a matter of days. It was only a matter of days. The Lord Himself makes reference to this in verse number 7. You have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, ye have not always. Me, ye have not always. My time is at hand. The time of my exodus, you remember, when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah came and appeared with Him in glory, and they talked to their Lord. They talked about His exodus, His departure out of this world, the time when He would leave this world. And Peter, James, and John heard it. Now the Lord is reminding them, I'm not going to be here always in this manner, in this fashion. The day of my death is approaching. The day of my departure from this world is coming. That day Mary saw that she had an opportunity to do something for her Lord, but it was an opportunity that was passing. She had only a few more days to do this particular work of service for her Lord. The opportunity was passing, and she seized the opportunity, and she acted promptly. It's a reminder to every one of us that the opportunity to serve the Lord and do something for Him is limited. The limitation in Mary's case was the death and the departure of the Lord to heaven. In our case, it is our own death. Death brings an end to every opportunity here upon this earth to do something for Him. Death brings an end to every opportunity. How short the time is. Each new day is a precious gift from the Lord. It's a gift that we can either neglect and squander, or a gift that we can use and invest for Him. Do you know that 248 days of this year have passed? There are only 117 days left in this year. 248 days have we neglected, have we squandered those precious gifts of opportunities to serve the Lord and do something for Him? I say there are 117 days left. That is only if the Lord permits. It may be before the year ends, some of us may be called home to glory. Our days in that case are even fewer. Every new day is a precious gift from the Lord to be used for Him, to do something for Him in that day. When we rise in the morning, we ought to say, what can I do for the Lord today? What way do you rise in the morning? Grumpy? Agitated? Tired? When we rise to each new day, I believe it's a good practice at the very start to reason in our minds, to think, what can I do for the Lord today? What can I do for Him? And then at the close of the day, review the day. Look back over the day and say, what have I done for the Lord today? Can the Lord say to me about this day, he or she have done what they could? Ask yourself at the end of the day, what have I done for myself today? And then compare it. What have I done for the Lord today? What have I done for myself today? We would probably be up all the night, most of the night, if we were to list everything that we have done for ourselves. But the Lord said she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. What she could do, she did purposefully. What she could do, she did personally. What she could do, she did presently. She seized the opportunity. She seized the opportunity. I was speaking to a friend not so long ago, and we were talking about the ministry of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he mentioned that from the age of 43 to the day of his death, Spurgeon did not have a pain-free day. Every day that he lived with pain. He had gout and all the consequences associated with it. And it meant for many a month he was absent from his pulpit, not able to stand in his pulpit and preach to the people. From the age of 43. I thought about that. It had a profound impact on my own heart. I haven't reached the stage of 43 yet, but it's getting near. And I thought to myself, if the Lord in his good providence were to place upon me some affliction that would prevent me physically doing what I have hitherto been able to do, could I look back over my life and say I have used the opportunities that God has given me in the days of my health? According to the natural time scale in the Bible, we have 70 years. I've already lived half my life. So now you know I'm older than 35, but still younger than 43. I've lived half my life. Some here today have lived a lot longer than half your life. There's some who have stepped over the allotted span and are in borrowed time. Have we used the time that God has given us to do something for Him, to do what we can for Him? Think about it. I believe it will give you a whole new perspective on each new day that God gives you. When you view that day as an opportunity to do something for the Lord, she hath done what she could. But notice finally what Mary could do. She did, prompted by his death. The Lord saw into Mary's heart, and he saw the motive underlying her action in verse number 8. She had done what she could because, this is the sense, because she is come aforehand or before the time to anoint my body to the burying. The Lord is saying this is why she has come. She has come to anoint my body for the burying. It was the custom of the East, in the East, to anoint the body of the deceased with perfumes and spices. Because the process of corruption in the heat of the eastern sun was accelerated, and so they would embalm the body with ointment and spices to try and stay the stench of corruption. And the Lord is saying about Mary, this is why she has come. She has come, she has done this to anoint my body for the burial. The Lord is showing us here that Mary believed that her Lord was going to die. That's what prompted her. That's why she has done this. She has done this in view of his death. The Lord had spoken about his death, and Mary believed what he had said. She believed that he was going to die. That he had come to Jerusalem for this purpose. He was going to die. She believed it. There were other disciples that did not believe it. You remember how Peter was infuriated? Not so, Lord. But Mary believed that he was going to die. And she brought this alabaster box in order to anoint him for the burial. She did it with purpose of heart. If you turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 12. The Lord, in the corresponding account in John's Gospel, says something that's most remarkable. John chapter 12 and verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. She's kept it back. Now to understand that, you've got to recognize what happened in the previous chapter. Chapter 11 records the death of Lazarus. And we're told in that chapter that when the Lord came, that Lazarus had already been lying in the grave 4 days, and already the stench of corruption could be smelt from the tomb. Behold, he stinketh, was the statement, the exclamation. Verse number 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 years. The reason why that stench was there was because Mary had kept back the ointment instead of using it on her brother Lazarus. She kept it back. She reserved it. Because she knew that her Lord was going to die. And she had purposed in her heart, I'm going to use this ointment for my Lord. You see, the message is this. She was prompted by his death. What she did, what she could do, she did because of what he did for her. What a beautiful picture. The death of her Lord was the reason for her action. The reason for her self-sacrifice. The reason for purposing in her heart to do this for him. The death of Christ is to be the great motive for all that we do for him. If we could bring Mary to this pulpit today and ask her why she did this. Why did you keep back this ointment when your brother Lazarus was dead? Why did you pour it on the head and upon the feet of Christ? I believe Mary's testimony today would be this. Because of what he did for me. Because of what he did for me. He died for me on that cruel cross. Brethren and sisters, we should purpose in our heart to do something for the Lord. And what we can do, we should do personally, and we should do it presently. Whatever we can do for Him must always be prompted and motivated by what He has done for us. What did Jesus do for you? He took your sin. He took your curse. He took your punishment. And on the cross of shame, He bore that sin, and He suffered and He died alone. He died for you and for me. And what He has done should be the great motive for all that we do for Him. She hath done what she could. Will you do something for the Lord today? Will you purpose in your heart to do something for the Lord? Go before the Lord today and wait before Him and say, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Lord, what can I do for You? What can I do for You? And the Lord will show you. The Lord will lay it upon your heart. There's so many things that need to be done. Prayer for missionaries. Financial support for God's work. Witnessing to the lost. Mr. Allen told a tremendous story on Wednesday night about an elderly lady, and she had lost her sight, but she wanted to do something for the Lord. And she thought about it, and she went to her pastor and she said, would you give me some of those gospel tracts? And he had some tracts produced by the TBS that had portions of scripture written in them. And she went down to the promenade and sat on the bench and waited for somebody to come to her. And when they would sit down on the bench beside her, she would lean over and she would say, excuse me, a man has given me this leaflet, but I can't read it, I'm blind. Could you read it for me? And the person would say, of course I will. And they would start to read the text of Scripture. And she would respond, how wonderful, isn't that wonderful? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then the person would go to give her the leaflet back, and she would say, but it doesn't benefit me, I can't read it. You keep it. And he said, without exception, they all went away with the little piece of paper with the text of Scripture on it. I thought that was tremendous. Somebody who wanted to do something for her Lord. And only heaven will reveal how many people will have been reached because there was purpose of heart and self-sacrifice and a willingness to do something for Him. Brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus has died for us. And what He has done should be the great motive for all that we can do for Him. May we give ourselves to the Lord today, and may we determine in our hearts to do something for Him. Let's turn.